Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about factoring. And to help me with that conversation, I have Diego Caicedo, the CEO of Portal Finance. Diego, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Ryan. Great to be here.
So to get going, let's give our audience a little bit of an overview of what Portal Finance is and what it does and kind of what its role is within the payments industry.
So, Ryan, we founded Portal Finance a couple of years back, basically trying to address one of the major challenges that around the world. That is, SMEs take a lot of effort to get financing from any source. So after the 2007-2008 financial crisis, financing for small companies, like those that make up the world, basically disappeared. So we started to look hard at how we could contribute to this problem, and we founded Portal Finance to be able to try to get these companies into asset-based lending, such as factoring.
Okay. Yeah, now that's a good jumping off point. So let's define what factoring is for those who may not be aware.
One of the biggest asset bases that companies have nowadays is their invoices to their clients. So we all know that when we are in complicated supply chains as of today, we might get a purchase order, then we'll deliver the following month, and then we'll send an invoice, and we might get paid 30, 60, 90 days afterwards, and we are stuck with having to sustain the company through this very long pay cycle. So factoring is taking that invoice that is going to be paid in 90 days, selling it as an asset to a third party, be it a bank, a factoring company, or asset managers, and they'll give me the money today that I need today, and they'll wait out the 90-day pay cycle for my buyer, and that way I don't have to have all that cash outstanding with my buyers.
Okay, now let's get into how is it that Portal Finance is really tackling this unique problem?
So it sounds like a pretty straightforward operation, but you run into a lot of things when you get into this industry, and that's why we focused in Latin America, where it's an extremely developed business compared to the United States at the current time. So electronic invoicing has paved the way, so now we have standardized invoicing. We don't have to deal with paper. We don't have to deal with letterheads that didn't get printed out correctly and stuff like that. Now we can deal with electronic invoices, and that we can create a central registry. Right now, we're moving from a centralized government mandated registry to a proprietary system based on blockchain technology that makes sure that the invoices don't get duplicated, that the person that owns the invoice really is the owner of the invoice, so we verify the identity of the people involved. We automate all the notifications, so when a company that is adapting one of these processes gets involved, he knows exactly who owns the invoice and who he has to pay at the end of the month. So we have automated all these processes, making it a lot easier to streamline getting the money right. But the other big problem that this industry had was the lack of an automated risk analysis system. So when you look at an invoice, invoices are usually paid under 90 days. That's pretty quick. So the credit risk or the risk related to the debtor still being in business in 90 days is usually pretty low. But you really don't have to be able to score the operational risk of an invoice. What's the risk, for example, of getting a return of the client that you're buying the invoice off of did not do 100% of his job? What's his past performance record? Does he normally deliver 70% of the goods he invoices? So all this is where we're specializing, and we've created a proprietary model that goes back and digs through the history of what your relationship has been with your client, how do you relate to other companies in the sector, and that way we can benchmark and say, okay, this company is normally going to deliver 70% of the goods, 10 are going to break on the truck, 10% are going to break when they're getting offloaded. Okay, that's fair, but we know what to finance. So that part of the operational risk is really where we're innovating and bringing it into the 21st century.
Thank you for that. So that was kind of a good overview in terms of Latin America, but I want to shift gears here and kind of take a look at the U.S. and what is it really that the U.S. can learn and possibly adopt from the Latin American counterparts?
There's a big cultural divide on invoicing and how it's seen in Latin America and even in some European countries versus the United States. Since the U.S. doesn't have a centralized taxing, a sales tax, a federally mandated sales tax, there is no need to control the sales invoice at the level that Latin American countries have, where the most income generated for the governments is from the sales tax. That has made that the invoices have a lack of formality tied to them. They can be in hundreds of formats. They can be paper. They can be computer printed. There is no legal requirement around this. That's all going to change over the next couple of years for the US, because this is something that the efficiencies from electronic invoicing really started to show. So right now there's like two hooks alone for electronic invoicing. So if I have a system and you have another electronic invoicing and they don't talk to each other, then we have to just print it out and go back to the paper route, and we're pretty much in deep trouble, and we're not earning anything. The federal government is starting a process where they're going to standardize all federal purchases, and we think that's going to lead to the overall standardization of every electronic invoicing protocol in the US. That will make it easy for my system to talk to your system. It's like Yahoo and Gmail have to talk to each other. We need a standardized protocol in the middle. If we don't have that, it makes a lot harder, because then we would just be printing out our emails and sending them via fax again. So that's the level of where we're at currently in the US with the invoicing systems. Blockchain solves a lot of that. Support helps will help the migration into this, because it's going to solve a lot of these issues outright. So companies can go in, hop on one of the standardized blockchains, and carry out their transactions, move their data to another one, and so forth. And they'll own this and have the mobility they require. So that's like electronic invoicing will unlock a lot of that flow down the road. The other big thing is the formality and getting away from paper checks is the other big thing we need to do in the US. It's incredible that around 50% of B2B payments in the US are still done on paper checks. So rewriting a check and having it issued to the factor, to whoever owns the invoice, is a big problem. Because you usually have somebody that's already printing out the checks, they get signed, and they get sent away. But then you figure out that that check didn't have to go to that person, canceling the check. It's a huge problem. So the other thing we hope to see with not only the electronic invoicing is coupling that with electronic payments. So once we get that other 50%, that is basically a lot of that is tied to small and medium enterprises into digital. So we're seeing a lot of these virtual prepaid cards in the payment space. We're seeing a lot of stuff happening that if we couple this, we think it's going to be great for the industry as a whole, because we're going to have a payments channel that's digital, that's going to be smart, that's going to know who you have to pay. And then you're going to have a digital transaction, and you're going to be able to trace it all together in the system. And accountants are going to love this. And everybody that's tracking thousands of suppliers a month will have a lot of the load taking off of their shoulders.
For our audience, can you give us a little bit of an overview of who it is that Portal Finance is working with, and what other impacts the company is having on the factoring industry?
So our primary clients are based out of Chile. Chile in the Americas is the most developed market. So just to get a matter of size, last year Chile came in around $30 billion in operations, in an economy that's under 20 million people. The US did $67 billion, just for the order of magnitude, the development that the Chilean market has. So we're working with market leaders in Chile, because this is pretty new to them also. They were the leaders when it was paper invoices, but electronic invoicing is changing the game. And you went from 35 factoring companies 7 years ago to around 400 factoring companies nowadays. This has made the competition and everything just got a lot fiercer. And you had to look at these companies that had a lot of the legacy systems in place that were basically dependent on people taking decisions, and a lot of them gut decisions without formal scorecards, without formal risk assessments and pricing criteria. You had to see them start fighting over customers. It's great for the customer, but it was tearing apart the factoring companies, especially the larger players in the industry. So we've been partnering, and we work with, I would say, three of the largest companies right now in Chile, to help them offer an automated solution to their clients, where the client is basically doing what we've done with personal banking for years, where you log in, you say, "Hey, I have this credit line approved. Can I just get the money transferred to my bank?" Done. You don't have to sign, everything's done with electronic signatures. The invoice is signed electronically. So we see that the cost reduction in terms of just sheer operational force that you had to have before, like people standing around So signing checks, making sure the invoices were the true owners. All these manual processes are just getting eliminated. And we're seeing clients that are right now scaling, for example, from 100 transactions per day to 500 transactions per day on the same operational base of both commercial agents and support staff. So that makes their operations a lot more efficient, drives down costs, and ultimately benefits the companies because they're able to get their money when they need it and at lower prices. And so in general, our clients show a reduction in prices of around 30% to the end user because a lot of that fat that they cut through gets transferred back into the market, lower rates, and it just makes the market more efficient.
Well, Diego, thank you very much for taking the time today for speaking to us about factoring, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Anytime, Ryan. I would love to come back.
That wraps up another episode of the Payment Journal Podcast. If you're interested in being part of the podcast, please reach out to us at info@mercatoradvisorgroup.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and we look forward to keeping you up to date with the latest payment news.